I'll ask you to turn with me to 1 Samuel chapter 3. This is a familiar story, and if you think about it, when you heard it as a child, what parts were the most important? Was it Eli? Was it Samuel? Was it God's voice? Was it the word obedience? 1 Samuel chapter 3, verses 1 through 10. The boy, Samuel, ministered before the Lord under Eli. In those days, the word of the Lord was rare. There were not many visions. One night, Eli, whose eyes were becoming so weak that he could barely see, was lying down in his usual place. The lamp of God had yet not gone out, and Samuel was lying down in the temple of the Lord, where the ark of God was. Then the Lord called Samuel. Samuel answered, "Here am I." And he ran to Eli and said, "Here am I. You called me." But Eli said, "I did not call. Go back and lie down." So he went back and lay down. Again the Lord called Samuel. And Samuel got up and went to Eli and said, "Here I am. Again, you called me." "My son," Eli said, "I did not call. Go back and lie down." Now Samuel did not yet know the Lord. The word of the Lord had not been yet revealed to him. The Lord called Samuel a third time, and Samuel got up and went to Eli and said, "Here I am. You called me." Then Eli realized that the Lord was calling the boy. So Eli said to Samuel, "Go and lie down. And if he calls you, say, 'Speak, Lord, for your servant is listening.'" So Samuel went and lay down in his place. The Lord came and stood there, calling as the other times, "Samuel, Samuel." How do you think he felt? Anyhow, then Samuel said, "Speak, for your servant is listening." That's very powerful. Then also turn to me with me to Psalms 139. Another familiar passage. Probably most of us have this memorized from at one time or another. Psalms 139, verses 1 through 6. "O Lord, you have searched me and you know me. You know when I sit and when I rise. You perceive my thoughts from afar. You discern my going out and my lying down. You are familiar with all my ways. Before a word is on my tongue, you know it completely, O Lord. You hem me in, behind and before. You have laid your hand upon me. Such knowledge is too wonderful for me, too lofty for me to obtain." The word of the Lord. Blaine?
Does anyone here remember the first word you ever read? Not the first word you spoke, but the first word that you read. I know, reaching back pretty far, isn't it? I do remember mine. It was in Mrs. Barrett's first grade reading circle, the Bluebirds. I was six. Back before there was such a thing as kindergarten, at least in our county, back before there was such a thing as font size, we opened up our reading book and there it was. One very large printed word on the first page. Look. Then as each of us turned our pages, we found two more words. Look, look. And on the third page, yep, you guessed it. Look, look, look. And I suppose it was the repetition that was the important part for Mrs. Barrett's first grade book. Now, there is a difference, subtle as it may be, but there is a difference between looking and seeing. We can turn our heads and look. We can catch a glimpse. We can gaze or stare. But it's quite another thing to ponder, to see what we're looking at. And we might ask further, after we look, how long does it take us to see, to comprehend or appreciate? How long does that take? Our first scripture lesson this morning is a classic. As Gerald read it, I'm sure you remember it, the Samuel and Eli story. It is popular in storybooks, the account of Samuel, the young boy hanging out, growing up in temple housing, has been highlighted in Sunday schools for a very long time. And since there aren't a ton of stories about kids in the Bible, this one has become a Sunday school and church classic. And the lessons that go along with it, like hearing God's voice in the temple, therefore us too, we should go to church. Good to be there to hear God. Another lesson we could take, obeying your elders. That's what Samuel did as a boy, so good boy, good girl, good child. And lesson three, keep your heart open to God, even if it takes four times. Samuel and Eli. It is a story with a sequence, in bed, out of bed, back and forth flow, out of bed, back to bed. And isn't that usually the way it is with us, whether we as a kid are like Samuel or whether we as adults are still being educated in our ways of faith? An ebb and flow. And doesn't it make you wonder what young Samuel was picking up during his day-to-day adventures following the old priest Eli around the temple grounds? What was Samuel picking up? What was he seeing? Was he seeing the good, the bad, and the ugly? It has been quite a few years ago by now, but one day on a lark, Connie and I decided to take a 2-hour road trip south to see a concert. No, you don't see a concert, you hear a concert. The artist was Doogie McLean, and I should say that if you were going to YouTube this, you would need to YouTube Dougie McLean, but he was one of Scotland's most famous singers, and so you've got to say it with a Scottish accent, which comes out more like Doogie McLean. The theater was small and quaint, and the stage was bare except for a microphone, a few speakers, and a stool. Most of Doogie's songs are ballad types, simply played with a guitar or a mandola, sometimes adding in a little harmonica. Now, Doogie's dad had been a crofter, that is, he was a tenant farmer in the Scottish countryside. And he wrote a ballad called The Scythe Song. And it was about watching his dad, being with his dad, learning from him as he worked the field of grain. YouTube it and you'll find it's a 6-minute song, and it is played at a leisurely pace, and it does come with a great Scottish accent. But more than that, you'll find a song about, essentially a song about learning by watching and seeing, by practicing what you see. And maybe it was like that for Eli, learning God things by traipsing around after Eli in the temple, day by day, by week, by year, in and around the temple. I want to read the lyrics to Doogie's song. I still remember when I first watched him work the blade. It was down in the Barkney Den. My questions tumbled, and he said, "Oh, this is not a thing to learn inside a day. Stand closely by me, and I'll try to show you the way. You've got to hold it right, feel the distance to the ground, move with a touch so light until its rhythm you have found, then you'll know what I know." Second verse. "Oh, wild are the ways that we run when at last untethered out we fly. Staring into the burning sun, need no direction, no, not I. But it's not a thing you learn inside a day. Stand closely by me, and I'll try to show the way. You've got to hold it right, feel the distance from the ground, move with a touch so light until its rhythm you have found, then you'll know what I know." Verse 3, "So little dancing girl, you want to play a tune, one that your heart will can fill to help you shine under the moon, well, it's not a thing that you learn inside a day. Stand closely by me, and I'll try to show the way. You've got to hold it right, feel the distance to the ground, move with a touch so light until its rhythm you have found. Then you'll know what I know. Then you'll know what I know. For over a month, Pastor Carl has been working on that project with our children, the step stool chair. Do you remember the particular Sunday when everyone was busily sanding away on their individual board and the swooshing sound was going on while Carl was talking? And then he went ahead and asked if anybody had been born with three eyes, and all of the sanding stopped simultaneously. Part of his project has been to draw parallels between the many steps of working on their step stool project and what it's like for God to be shaping our lives. And we all begin with a certain preciousness to life that we heard from Psalm 139, that God being present while we are fashioned inside our mothers, about how it is God that does the stitching together of our inward parts. And during last Sunday's service, we had some of that squirmy preciousness right here in front of us. Two vigorous and untested lives. And we parents and we grandparents and all of us promising to play our parts in their preciousness. Well, as the Samuel and Eli story was read aloud, did you hear the foreboding part? Pretty easy to gloss over since the story is so adorable otherwise. But listening closely, we heard the word of the Lord was rare in those days. Visions were not widespread, which can be a little unnerving. Sounds like one of those points in Bible history when God had been put on the back burner. And if you read in 1 Samuel, it was. And come to think of it, on some days this begins to sound a little bit too current. Which is not to be taken us all doom and gloom. It is not meant for us to all go henny, penny, goosey, poosey, ducky, lucky, running to tell the king that the sky is falling. No, not that. For there might indeed be a foreboding sense in this old scripture lesson, but it is also about the diligence of old Eli serving the Lord faithfully, and then one day the Lord calling out to the kid working next to him, look, 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 and see.